Welcome to NYPD Blue Balls, everybody. Pilot episode. We meet Andy Sipowicz on the stand, lying about how he found something in some dude's car. Turns out he's an alcoholic.
Okay, maybe I'll start it.
What are you talking about? He's lying about how he got there.
Some dude's car. First of all, it's Giardella.
Oh, God.
It's the mob man, Giardella.
Mm-hmm.
Sipowicz is on the stand because he arrested Giardella, and then Giardella's lawyer gets up there and basically goes like, "Wow, like, how did you come to arrest him? Blah, blah, blah. There were 7 nails in his tire." Basically, Sipowicz punctured his tire, so he'd have to open his trunk. Catches him with untaxed cigarettes so he can arrest him because he's a mob guy. For some reason, this guy really bugs Sipowicz.
Theory, it's because he's bald but wears a hairpiece.
Yeah, I think...
I think that's the only reason he's upset with him.
I think it's that, but then I also think that he talks a lot of shit. And if he didn't talk shit and he did his mobster shit like Marino does, where Marino's like... a real mob boss where he's quiet behind the scenes, just does his business.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't be bothered so much, but because he runs his mouth so much, says Sipowicz is poor, tries to give Sipowicz $100 to go buy a pair of socks, like shit like that. That's what I think bugs Sipowicz, is that he's cocky, but he's not that good of a mob guy either. He's not like the best mob guy.
He's like a chucklehead. He's not like a real mobster. He's just an asshole.
And that pisses off Sipowicz, which is fair. Like, I get it.
But Sipowicz is also in the midst of just raging alcoholism, which is established by every character in authority and his friends.
Well, yeah, and also right after the trial, we get introduced to John Kelly talking to Fancy, who's the lieutenant. They both, and like you're saying, Fancy's basically like, we all know where he is. And so John goes and finds him at a bar.
It's also...
And he's hammered.
He's already. Also hammered, like, and he's getting more hammered. And he's making it clear that he's gonna go after this guy again, even though doing so puts his own job at risk.
Yeah, he's pretty much gonna be... Like, he even says it himself, he's pretty much fired.
And yeah.
He knows he's fired. What he's done, he's like, it's over with. He knows it's gonna happen.
So... But there is rumblings underneath the surface that Sipowicz used to be a good cop, which is important.
Yeah. And Fancy says that.
John Kelly, you can tell.
Kelly says that, mentions that, and acts like that. So yeah, like he did used to be a good cop, and he's never left the 15th. That's always been his home. Mm-hmm. As a detective, so yeah.
We also are introduced John Kelly. We also see a uniform cop, a little lady named LaKelsey.
Well, you meet John Kelly, who's going through a divorce.
Yes,
his wife is leaving him because he's
too much into his job.
Yes,
he's too much of a Superman, a super cop. Yeah.
And so she's leaving him, but she still bangs it out with him.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Papers home. But then he, like you're saying, starts throwing his dick vibes towards LaKelsey, who is a uniform cop.
Played by Amy Brenneman, which, famous faces, is also in the 90s Casper movie with Christina Ricci and Bill Pullman.
But she also had her own TV show called Judging Amy, Kirk.
Yeah, but that's not as good as Casper. Judging Amy doesn't represent part of my childhood, Kyle, so I don't care about Judging Amy.
True. But when we meet Sipowicz, we also meet one of my favorite secondary characters, James Sinclair, who is the bald attorney for all the mobsters.
He is also the perfect, like, douchebag attorney.
Thing is he's only in the first season, a little bit of the second, and he doesn't come back until the 12th season.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Not only is that crazy, he does such a good job at both.
Yeah, he is so good in the first season and a little bit of the second season. Some of my favorite scenes are with him just doing monologues.
Mm-hmm. Because he's...
Like, we'll get to that point, but he's really good. He, like, knew... Like, it was perfect, his casting.
Because the opening scene of this episode is Sinclair literally dismantling Sipowicz's account of why he went into this man's car. And everybody knows that the dude's a mobster. But after he gets done, the judge even goes like, Sibowitz, don't bring shit like this into my courtroom again.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also meet ADA Costas.
Mm-hmm.
The first time she's trying to prosecute this trial. And that is when we get one of the greatest lines ever, when they're walking out of the courtroom.
First Sibowitz line.
And I don't know what she says, because I can't speak Latin.
She says, res ipsa loquitur.
Yeah, she said, like...
I fucked that up. Let me just say, I don't know how to say it. I wrote it down, but I don't know how to say it.
So she is leaving the courtroom, and he's giving her shit for not being able to put Giardella behind bars.
Behind jail. You know, it's common knowledge that sometimes they put you behind the jail.
She is on her way out, and Sibowitz is giving her shit, and she says something in Latin. And then Sibowitz yells back at her, hey, ipsa this,
you prissy
little bitch.
Little bitch.
And then he grabs his dick.
Yep. Grabs his junk.
And then that's how we get going into... Episode 1.
Into episode 1. The opening of this show is so good, because it just goes, here it is, and now we're running. And then it doesn't stop, because basically, I think Sibowitz gets suspended. Is that the reason he goes right to the bar?
Yes.
He goes right to the bar. Sibowitz gets suspended, and he goes to the bar
He doesn't get... Sorry. He doesn't get suspended after the trial.
No.
After the trial, he just goes straight to the bar. And Kelly finds him at the bar... And he's hammered.
Hammered.
And so then Kelly tells him, I don't want to be your partner anymore. I've been carrying you. You're drunk. And Sibowitz gets all upset, and they like kind of go their own ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when Kelly goes to his wife. They fuck. Weird. They're supposed to be getting a divorce. He's being an asshole. He just wants to break a piece off. He bounces, comes back to the station, and then that's when he starts meeting LaCalce. They start like chit-chatting and flirting. And then it becomes the next day. Yeah,
the reason him and LaCalce even talk is because there's like a string of robberies at the apartment he used to live in with his wife.
And LaCalce used to work out in that district.
So basically he's like, hey, my ex-wife, who I have no problem plowing, is having an issue. By the way, do you have an issue? Because I'd like to bone you as well. I'm David Caruso. It's like that's one of the themes I see in the first season. Everybody wants to fuck David Caruso for seemingly any reason.
It's so weird. And then this is another thing that I had about the first. So after he with goes to his wife's place, talks to the LaCalce and everything, Sibowitz goes to where Giardella's eating dinner and basically attacks him because he's hammered.
He not only attacks him, he tries to embarrass him amongst all the mob dudes by, like, pulling off his wig and, like...
Making him eat it, grabbing his money, beating him in the middle of the street.
And then pulls a gun in the middle of this restaurant and points it in his face and gets him off the chair. It's insane.
What's weird to me is Caruso pulls up about halfway through. So is Caruso just following Andy around 24/7?
Almost.
That's weird.
Yes. But he's concerned.
Very weird.
Number two, they bury this story. He goes to IAB. IAB is another huge runner throughout the entire in internal affairs, where he now has to account for what happened. And David Caruso basically has to say, oh no, I didn't see anything. And Sibowitz needs to somehow make up a story about dragging this mobster out at gunpoint and just beating the shit out of him outside.
But I don't think he makes up a story. I think Sibowitz owns it. And because I think Sibowitz owns it because he knows he's in trouble, and he gets suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's when he goes to the bar,
and he
takes
just
like four quick shots, and then grabs his favorite prostitute, Lois.
And you don't know she's a prostitute. That's another good part. Like, he sits next to this woman. You don't even know if they know each other, really.
No, you do. You do.
She says Andy.
She sits down. She goes, "Hey, Andy."
But it's not like...
That's a pretty friendly... The way she does it, it's very friendly, Kirk.
But you don't think to... I didn't think to myself, at least when I watched it the first time and then the second time, it doesn't come off as, hey, you're a prostitute, let's go bang somewhere.
No, I agree with you on that. I didn't think she was a prostitute the first time I saw it, but they did...
They knew each other.
Yeah.
And then he pounds these beers and he goes, let's get out of here.
Yes.
And the next time you see him, it's like she's going to bone zone this, no offense to Dennis Franz, this She's gonna bone zone this penguin stand-in looking dude.
Or a warthog.
Like, yeah, he is. He's like straight up Danny DeVito in like earlier seasons of Always Sunny looking.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm gonna get to this. And who comes out of the bathroom?
Ghirardella.
And he shoots. Well, first off, they share this back and forth, which is super awesome. Because it's written great.
Just talking shit to each other.
Talking shit to each other. And then he straight out almost murders Andy by shooting him an ungodly amount of times.
Okay, yeah, so he shot him. So the whole joke is later on, and even it's a runner throughout the series, that Sipowicz got shot in the ass. He always talks about, oh, I was shot in the ass, I had to use a donut, blah, 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 all this shit. How about the fact that he got shot, like, at least 5 times in the gut?
It's a testament to my point that this movie is about the miracle that Sipowicz's life, because nothing gets you sober than surviving getting shot like 6 times at point blank range.
I know, but Kurt, there are people who've been shot once in the stomach and die.
Yeah,
he got shot like four times in the gut or something like that, once in the ass and then once in the back. And you know he laid in that filth for a while because Lois was gone.
Ghirardella didn't call anybody.
Yeah, how did he live?
A miracle. The dude, this is another thought, and this is more conspiracy theory. The dude's like a godlike figure.
In a way.
Like, he teaches other cops. He always has a sense of right and wrong, even in the face of, like, absolutely insane things. The dude's like a godlike figure. And you know who's Christ? You know who's Christ? Jimmy Smits. I mean, spoiler alert.
So would you say that when Sipowicz is drunk, he's the God of the Old Testament?
Yes.
And then when he gets sober, he's the God of the New Testament?
Kind of, yes.
But with just a little bit more racism?
He's not. Like, that's another thing. We'll talk about it. We're going to talk about this. Is Sipowicz racist?
Yes.
Is he racist? Is he racist? Is he racist, or is he a product of his time? Because there is a difference.
He's racist.
You're just saying straight up racist.
Yeah. Oh, Kirk, 100% racist. Kirk, his line on the stand is, maybe some of the urban youths fucked with his car.
That's not...
Urban youths, white was not behind that.
Urban youth could be any race.
My point exactly. He doesn't like any race,
including white people.
We'll talk about it more. No, he likes white people because he's white, but he hates other Europeans. There's an episode that we'll talk about where he.
There's an episode where
he makes fun of I think a Russian guy for being Russian.
Well,
and then Smith has to throw in like something about him being Polish to like relax everybody.
That's Cold War shit. Okay, that's cute.
Stop it.
That's not.
Get out of here.
I wouldn't say he's racist. I would say he's racial because he grew up in a time where like you said shit like that. But I don't think he's racist. I think.
Okay. Well, we'll unpack that as we get closer. So then we meet Lestarza, who is a straight cock.
Yeah, that
he's
dude.
He's the guy who's in. So once Sipowicz gets shot, Kelly goes to Marino, who's the head crime boss, goes to his hangout and basically tells him, like, I want Ghirardella. Ghirardella shot a cop. He didn't get your permission. And then he slams some guy's head into a thermostat, breaks the thermostat. Well, in the thermostat was a wire that Lestarza's crew put in there to catch these guys. Lestarza's being a cock. He's all pissed. This starts the beginning of Kelly fucking with Marino.
Mm-hmm. It also, like, the Lestarza is the basis for where you get the inner cop political problem, where like it's dick measuring and it's who do we listen to and who's in charge and
my shit's more important. What I'm doing with these guys is more important than what you're doing. I've got like he's just like 20,000 man hours and all this shit.
And
but it's also where we get introduced to James Martinez.
Who is on anti-crime. He's not a detective. He's just
he's
a regular
cop. He's
not a
detective, but Fancy won't give Caruso or Kelly another partner until the whole Sipowicz thing plays out, so he has to work with James Martinez, which I feel Martinez was set up to be Kelly's new partner. because Sipowicz wasn't supposed to last after the first episode.
You don't think so?
No, no, that's fact.
That's fact, according to the trivia.
I read that somewhere that Bochco and Milich wrote Sipowicz in, but he was going to die. But after the first season, after the first episode, people talked about how much they loved Sipowicz's character and liked how much Dennis Franz played him, so they rewrote him back into it, but still kept James Martinez.
Which is, they pulled like a Jesse Pinkman.
Mm-hmm. Where... Because if you watch that whole episode, at the end of the first episode, you see David Crusoe talking to Sipowicz in the, spoiler, in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the first episode, but you never see Andy wake up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
you always see him.
Second episode, when we talk about it, there's a long time before anyone says anything about Andy waking up.
Mm-hmm.
So for what I read somewhere online that Sipowicz was supposed to be out, but people loved how much what he brought to the character and how he played the character. They wrote him back in. So my thought is that Martinez was supposed to be the replacement, and then it would be Kelly and Martinez fighting together, working, and he would start training Martinez.
And thank God that didn't happen. Because
I like Martinez.
No, Martinez shows up, though. Martinez is a part of the show, eventually. But if we got rid of Sipowicz, then we wouldn't even be talking about the show.
Oh, no, if you got rid of Sipowicz, no one would have watched the show.
The show would have been over in a season.
Let's just get through the story, so then we can play our games. So then Kelly starts fucking with Marino's shit, and he starts, like, arresting his guys, like, getting his bookmakers, all that stuff. And then he asks Lacalzi out for a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he and Lacalzi go out for a beer. They start shooting the shit. You find out Kelly hasn't seen Sipowicz in the hospital yet because Kelly's dad died in the same hospital. Kelly's dad was a cop. Blah, blah, blah.
You find out Lacalzi's family or dad's a cop, right? In the same conversation.
Lacalzi's dad's a cop. And then all of a sudden, they're fucking.
Yeah. What's really funny is, to understand the times of NYPD Blue, it's primetime ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And you can show, I've heard this phrase before, you can show a fleeting tit or some ass.
Mm-hmm.
So they just find any excuse to do it. So, like, I mean, it's a common theme, but two characters will meet and then you're like, okay, they're gonna bone. And then 5 to 10 minutes later, they're naked and thrusting each other.
Bochco or Milich, I don't remember which one, fought to have language and have nudity in it because he says it's what makes the show. And after the first episode, a lot of sponsors started pulling out, and ABC stuck...
pun intended.
ABC stuck by them. Bochco or Milich were like, no, stick by us. Like, this show can be a hit, and when it's a hit, they'll regret leaving. And boom, it was a hit within, like, 6 or 7 episodes. It started picking up. And people didn't really care about the language anymore. And people didn't care about, like, the ass that you saw. Or, like, the moonlit silhouette of the girl's body. Like, my only thing is it necessary?
No.
Like, there's some scenes where it's like...
Absolutely
we'll,
not.
Well, we'll talk about them. But there's some scenes where there's dudes, like, laying on the bed. And it's like a ass. Silhouette of their ass in the
dude.
And it's just like them talking. It's like what do you don't need that?
Like, Zach Attack
talking at the table.
There's some Zach Attack episodes. Zach Morris. What's his real name? I can't remember his real name.
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
There's some Mark Paul Gosselaar scenes where it was like this MPG? Is excessive. Mark Paul Gosselaar. Like
dude, there's some Smits episodes where it's like Smits is just like standing in his window, standing in the moonlit window with his ass. Like it's just like, come on.
I'm not gay, but who cares? it's the Smits. No.
So ESX, his wife comes over to talk to him. Because
that's so weird.
Yeah, and so his phone's off the hook. She comes over and she wants to talk, and he's like, you can't come in because I just fucked somebody.
No.
But I just fucked you yesterday.
No, this is the best part of it. This is the best part of that scene. She goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry about Andy. She came by the office to confront him about not signing divorce papers with
yes.
David Schwimmer.
David
and when
Schwimmer,
she,
yes.
And when she did, she's like, I can't believe you can't walk down the street. And he's like, Andy was shot today. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I forgot, I didn't realize, or I didn't forget, I didn't realize, I'm sorry, we'll deal with it later. So she shows up to comfort him, and when he opens the door, you know it smells like sex. It's a New York apartment.
Well, and what I liked about that scene is I think David Caruso did a really good job of acting like, oh shit, my ex-wife's here, and I've got some like random broad in the bed.
Not only that, and it's not even, it's, well, the best part is he opens the door and like his, the look on his face is like, okay, let's hope this isn't a long conversation.
Yeah.
And then she
and
goes,
so he basically says like, sorry, you can't come in, I just fucked, she's still here, you gotta go home. Deuces. I'll bring the papers by later. So she leaves. Shit happens. He gets a phone call. David Schwimmer's been robbed in his old apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes. Lacalsi had called him because Lacalsi went by. So it's kind of this weird, like, his wife's there. David Caruso's there. Lacalsi's there. He's talking to about David Schwimmer. David Schwimmer gets taken to the hospital. Lacalsi and him are like basically flirting, and she's like, is everything cool between us? He's like, yeah, everything's fine, don't worry about it, I'll talk to you later. His ex-wife sees, and then immediately Lacalsi goes straight to Marino because, boom, spoiler alert, Lacalsi's working for the mob.
That's the ending of the first episode?
Well, no, because that's not the ending. The ending is John goes to the hospital to talk to Andy.
And then he squeezes his hand, right?
He squeezes his hand and he tells Andy, he's like the toughest son of, like, that. That's why, like, that end of the first season is basically John saying goodbye to Andy.
Yeah.
And John's like saying, you're the toughest son of a bitch I know. I was really afraid to come here.
Mm-hmm.
About all this stuff. And yeah, so, and then that's how that first episode ends.
It's
with like, you find out like Kelsey's in the, working for the mob. And we don't know if Andy's gonna live.
Mm-hmm.
And like all these things are just happening.
What's clear to me, at least, is the beginning of this show was so obviously David Caruso's show.
Yes.
And you can tell this because every 5 minutes David Caruso is advancing the plot. And it's like that for the first half of this season. First off, David Caruso's going through a divorce, so there's scenes where he's talking to his ex-wife and David Schwimmer. David Caruso's also banging this other cop, so there's scenes with her. David Caruso is dealing with the possible death of Andy and the investigation into his killer. David Caruso, a little bit later, we're going to talk about that, takes a job as a bodyguard, and there's shit happening there. The first couple episodes is just David Caruso walking from scene to scene, doing what I like to call whispering and fucking. He's either whispering at you or he's banging you for the first couple episodes of this of season one,
and he does this thing. I call it like he bends, like when he sits, whatever he does when he like is gonna talk to somebody. He sits in a chair, he bends over, but then he gets like real close to your face at an angle.
Yeah,
and he's like talking to you. Giardella, I want him. But he's like at this weird like angle.
he's like perching like a lizard.
Yeah,
it's so like a lizard weird thing. David Caruso, like, it seems like he's legitimately acting a storm, but like I don't like him, I guess.
He's all right. It could have been worse.
Because I know
he's not the worst sidekick for Sipowicz out of all four of them.
No, absolutely not.
I think Schroeder's the worst, and we'll get into that later.
When we get towards the end, when we're in season 12, and we're looking for shit to talk about, we'll talk about who's the best sidekick. Yeah. But David Caruso, because it's so clearly David Caruso's show.
Yeah.
But then, when they realize what they have with Sipowicz, they change gears, and they make it more of an ensemble piece.
Yeah.
Which was a good move, because then you can share the screen time and share the stories. When it's just David Caruso, it's just this ginger dude whispering to people, but also seemingly banging all the women that come near him. I don't understand.
Well, if you look at it, the first 6 or 7 episodes aren't about solving cases. It's like The Wire, where it's this one case that's going on,
mm-hmm.
and it's the story through that case, and then boom, all of a sudden it becomes about, like, episode becomes about one case.
A procedural.
So the first 5 are like a like a continual story,
mm-hmm.
and then it becomes this like one episode cases, or sometimes a case happens and they have to be continuing and shit. But I mean, Caruso's not that bad. It could have been worse.
It's just, I don't know. I don't like him. I don't like him, and I expect the sunglasses to come out every time he's on screen. Also, his hair is very red. The high-definition upscaling makes him look like a goddamn cartoon character.
Because his hair looks like Donald Trump's colored hair.
And also, like, his eyes are blue. Because, like, I mean, this is such a dumb thing to nitpick, because this isn't their intention. But, like, when you watch David Caruso and he comes up on screen, because of the way the colors are, his eyes are super, super, super bright blue. And then his hair is, like, this crazy crimson red, and they pop, and then his skin is just this pale nonsense. And it's just, it makes him kind of look like a monster. Also, Sipowicz, when he's drunk, the makeup artist really took the time to make him look like a sloppy piece of shit. And then once he gets sober, they clean him up a little bit and like make him look more presentable.
Yeah, they do that thing where they make him look like he's constantly sweating.
Which is true about his character.
Yeah, he's like constantly sweating and his eyes are like, yeah, he does a good job.
You said you had a MFK for the first episode?
Yes.
Okay, well,
MFK, Lois, Kelly's ex-wife, LaCalzie.
Well, I'll kill Lois, because she probably has AIDS. She's a hooker in New York, and obviously isn't too selective about her partners.
Wow. She probably has AIDS. Wow.
I would probably have sex with LaCalzie and marry John's ex-wife, who I don't even know her name. What is her name?
Lori.
Lori. I would marry Lori and have sex with LaCalzie because Lori is a lawyer. And she's got her shit together. LaCalzie's a little, especially at that first episode. LaCalzie, we don't know what her deal is.
LaCalzie's real fucked up.
Because she was asked by Marino to kill Kelly, but she digs okay. him. And she digs him, question mark?
Yeah.
We don't know for sure?
There's more we have to unwrap into that. Because there's a lot of, I feel like a psychologist would have a field day with her.
Okay, well, since you gave me an MFK, I can give you an MFK for the first episode.
Okay.
Lori, Kelly's ex-wife, LaCalzie, or ADA Costas?
I would kill LaCalzie.
That's a solid move.
Sleep with Lori.
And marry Costas.
Yeah, and as this goes on, you will see that my love for Sylvia Costas is on the level of like what crazy women have for like soap opera men. I, like, as a fictional character, I adore ADA Costas. I adore her whole arc. I adore who she becomes, who she helps Andy become, everything about her. Their love, like, that is, like, one of the most, jumping ahead, that is one of the most purest love stories on TV that I've ever seen. And it's the best. It's the best love story on TV I've ever seen.
And no offense, because it's more realistic love, because, like, no offense, they're kind of uggos.
Okay, first of all, Costas is not an uggo.
Sipowicz is an uggo. TV uggo?
Huh?
TV uggo, Kyle?
What?
TV ugly, though? TV ugly is...
At that time, no.
TV ugly is moderately attractive.
I don't think she's TV ugly.
Okay.
I think LaCalzie's uglier than ADA Costas.
Okay, I disagree with you a little bit.
That's fine.
I think LaCalzie, I mean, given away all of her quirks and her what have yous, she's fairly attractive.
But we're not we're taking the character as a whole, not just off of their looks.
But we're talking about the first episode, Kyle. We're talking about the first episode.
From the first episode, Costas is more attractive. She has...
What are you talking about? Did you remember her hair? She looked like me. Listen, she looked like me in the picture from the Asher Brothers podcast.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, she does.
Number two, her personality is better than LaCalzie's.
She has like three lines of dialogue.
She takes Sipowicz on head on. LaCalzie is fucking crazy. If you want to date crazy, go ahead. That's up to you. You can go ahead and do whatever you want. If you take the person as a whole, based off of the first episode, LaCalzie is a fucking nut job. Costas isn't. Boom. Winner right there. Lori's crazy, too. Lori's got some fucked up shit in her head.
But we're talking about attractiveness.
She can't figure out what she wants.
We're talking about attractiveness.
Yeah, Costas is way more attractive.
I mean, I disagree. I think you're looking for, like, soccer moms then, but okay.
No, I adore ADA Costas. But
Kyle, is your opinion of her character, as we see through the show, affecting your ability to see her attractiveness now?
No.
In episode one? Not at all, you say.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
All right. All right, then we'll leave it at that.
Do you have a favorite Sipowicz line of the episode?
A first episode? Obviously, it's only, "Hey, Ipsa this, you prissy little bitch." That's...
I've got a different one.
Can oh,
I
really?
Tell you what it is?
What is it?
They're in the bar, and it's after the trial, and Kelly goes... This is Kelly. It goes Kelly, then Sipowicz, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Kelly goes, "When is the last time you tried getting on the wagon?" And Sipowicz goes, "When's the last time you tried to grow tits?"
That's very good.
It was the best, dude. It was the best. Heavy rolling. I was laughing so hard.
Oh, man.
This also showed that in the 90s, it was a different time and there was a different type of policing.
Mm-hmm. Completely different.
I mean, we're seeing a little of it now, where there's no regard to the color of your skin. If you're black, we're gonna shoot you. But that, like, it was just like, there's no way in real life now someone in Kelly's position could just go and start fucking with someone's life. You know what I mean? Like, he couldn't just start doing shit and not be reined in.
Well, that's gonna be another thing. Like, I mean, it seems insane. This is the first episode right out of the gate, but we're going to ask the question, is this police brutality? Sometimes it is. It seems like it.
Yeah, so, when Sipowicz is in the restaurant and he pulls a gun out, yes, 100%.
Like,
and puts it to the guy's neck and looks at everyone at the table and basically says, "Don't fucking move. Come outside with me." It's kind of like, what?
It's insane that all he gets is suspended. But Andy Sipowicz got unhealthily drunk.
Pending review, though. So he's basically suspended until the review goes through and they fire him.
Yeah.
Because in a later episode, when Sipowicz... Well, we'll talk about it later. But we know... Wait, everyone knows Sipowicz comes back to work. In a later episode, when Sipowicz comes back to work, he says, "Before I got shot," and then Fancy goes, "You mean before you got fired?" So he was gonna get fired.
For
and
sure.
He was gonna be gone, but getting shot saved his life in a weird way.
It's... We'll talk about it when we get to it, but I really think, well, the police brutality, of course it is, he has a pre-existing feud with this guy. He shows up drunk to a restaurant he knows he's going to be at, takes him out in front of many witnesses, points a gun at him, fucks with him, and then takes him out into the street, presumably to shoot him. They don't know what he's going to do. And he gets out there and he just shoves a sock into his mouth, but... Yeah, it would be instant fire. There would be no suspension. It would just be, you're done. We take your guns and...
Yeah, he would have been fired that day. But it's the 90s, different type of policing.
Different type of policing.
That's what I'm saying.
Different generation, different group of rules. But what's really interesting is, and it's a line in the show, the only person looking out for cops is other cops.
Yes.
When Sipowicz gets shot, sure, it's a serious offense. But this guy's up for review for taking a dude out into the street at gunpoint.
Uh-huh.
After he gets shot several times, it becomes, who's the guy that shot Sipowicz? We need to find him and string him up. Even though he has lost all the respect inside that department.
Yeah, but he's still a cop, though.
That's the thing. Like if there's a fuck-up at work at your job, you don't care if that fuck-up ends up losing something. Because then you're like, yeah, well, he deserves it. He's a fuck-up. But because it's cops, and cops look out for their own, suddenly the tone about Sipowicz changes. And we'll see that in future episodes, where if a cop gets messed with, then the rules are completely different, which is strange.
No, that's part of the whole cop mystique, though. It's the same thing with, like, people in the service who've done, like, military. I know a lot of people who... served in the military, meet each other, and automatically are like, I got your back no matter what. You got my back no matter what, because we each served in the military. There were guys at my old job who some served in Vietnam, some served now, but they still had this attitude like, you need anything, you let me know. And that's because they kind of know what they're going through. I get it. I understand that part.
But it's, I guess what I'm saying, and this could be the closing point because we're about to reach close to our cap off.
Yeah. And then I got a little piece of trivia I want to tell you before, as a sign off.
I think as we go through the show, especially if people watch with us, you're going to see that the rules change if a cop is the one in danger. But if it's just a normal day at the office, like a guy kills 15 women before raping their bodies, it's different. And they respond differently.
There's different levels to the rules. Like, you'll see throughout the show, cops, you don't fuck with cops.
You don't fuck with kids.
You don't beat women. If you're a woman beater, they get real angry on the show and they don't like it. And if you fuck with kids. Now, if it's someone my age who shoots someone else my age, it's like, okay, that's two men being retarded. But if it's like a man shoots a kid, it's like, or molests a kid, you see him go fucking crazy. And I think that comes to the, that's also the part of the line of the line where it's like you're preying on someone helpless. So I think that falls in line there too. But, I mean, I get what you're saying. So my little bit of trivia for this episode. I've got some trivia for some episodes. Not all of them, just a few of them. All
right. Close it out with some trivia.
The character of Detective John Kelly was originally named Flynn and intended for Jimmy Smits, but he turned down the role.
What?
But then Sims later played Kelly's replacement, Detective Bobby Simone.
What? It could have been him the whole time?
Yep.
Oh, man. We probably may not have had Sipowicz, though. That's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I think in a weird way it is a little bit.
I think Smits would have just stolen all the spotlight, and then it would have been the Smits show. Wow, cool. That's the first episode, everybody. Pilot, it's done. Get ready for the next episode, which is 4B or not 4B.
We also have to talk about the creativeness of some of these titles.
You mean the nailed it's of some of these titles, Kyle? The hashtag nailed it's of almost all NYPD Blue titles?
One of my favorite titles is Emission Accomplished.
One of them, oh my god, one of them made me laugh so hard I kept it up in my web browser just so I could read it. Maya Con Dios, I think was one.
Yes.
Maya Con Dios.
One of my favorites is Vinny Vishy, or however you say it, or something like that.
But get ready for more NYPD Blue Balls, because we're coming at you with more every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. I'm Kirk.
I'm Kyle. You don't have to snap.
I don't have to, but sometimes you're like a trained seal. I gotta just get out the fish.
You're a trained seal.
A kiss from a rose on the grave. I am a trained seal. Episode 2 coming out soon. 4B or not 4B.